If you would, take out your Bibles and turn to Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31, what a powerful declaration of the gospel as we come to look at God's Word. And before we begin, men, just a reminder about the breakfast next week. I wasn't going to say anything about it, but when you're in a small group together, you get to know a lot about one another. And for the last couple of years, John Martin has become one of my closest friends, and he has taught me much about grace and mercy in marriage, and I want you to be here next week for that. If you would, fill out the card, let us know you're coming so we can prepare enough breakfast for you, but you need to be at that. That's going to be a special time together, and then on Father's Day, because it's Mother's Day, we'll go ahead and make this announcement. We're going to have a combined service in Lexington. As many of you know, we are part of a larger body with a campus in Lexington, and we're going to have a combined Father's Day gathering. The morning, when they usually do Bible fellowship groups, we're going to have a combined time with a couple from Alabama that has adopted children from all over the world. They're actually under some heat in the state of Alabama about some comments that a government official made, and then they've come out and spoken against it in light of the gospel, and they're going to be there for the morning BFG time. We'll get you all those times and specific information soon, and then we will worship together with our Lexington campus. So make plans to do that. I know Mother's Day, Father's Day, sometimes it's easier just to do something else, just to go straight to grandma's house or grandpa's house or whatever you're going to do. But I think that will be a special time, and also to remind us as a campus what we're a part of. We're not just a part of what God is doing here, but in Lexington and even around the world. So I want to encourage you to go ahead and make plans for that on Father's Day. We're looking at Proverbs 31 today, and if you're a mom, you're probably worried. I know if you're like my wife and my mom even, you never feel like you're good enough. You never feel like you've done enough for your kids. That's a part of being a mom. Well, I want to tell you before we even look at this passage, Proverbs 31 isn't about you. It's not about you coming up with more things that you got to do better as a mom. It's about Jesus. And your family doesn't need you to be best. We live under a lot of pressure in today's culture. You got to present the best family on Facebook with the best baby pictures and all of that stuff. And you live under a lot of guilt. Well, this is about Jesus. And hopefully today, the gospel will be all that you need. Christ will be all that you need. Proverbs 31, I'm going to begin reading in verse 10. And we're going to look at this chapter together as Christ calls us, as he does every week, to open up our Bibles, to come before him in the pages of Scripture so that he might speak to us, so that he might change us, so that we might live the way he has called us to live in the world. If you would stand in reverence to the reading of God's perfect word, Proverbs chapter 31, I'll begin reading in verse 10. Hear the word of Christ. An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hand, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She opens up her hand to the poor and reaches out to the needy. She's not afraid of snow, for her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing. And she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. Oh God, I pray today that as we think about mothers and as we think about motherhood and we think about what you've called women to be in the world, women who love Jesus and follow Jesus and trust in the gospel, God, I pray that this would not be an overwhelming, overbearing time, but it would be a time of delight and pleasure and worship, knowing there is nothing within us that could fill your demands. But Christ has done it all for us. God, I pray that mothers here today would trust in Christ. I pray that fathers here today would trust in Christ. I pray that we would all cling to the gospel today. The gospel of Jesus, who is the embodiment of wisdom. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Why would you waste all your talent, ability, and skill? You're so smart. These were words from a family in the youth group where I was the youth pastor. When I first got to Ashland Avenue Baptist Church, and there was a young lady who had been spending time with my wife and was just hanging out around our house as she parented our children, as she managed our home. And it became time, it was getting closer for her to graduate from high school, and she was thinking about what she was going to do with her life, and she went home one day without us knowing it, and she told her parents, she said, "I just want to be a wife and mom like Danae." And by the time this story got back to me, I was sort of scandalized at the way in which her parents were trying to talk her out of being a wife and a mom like Danae. Now, to their credit, their daughter didn't know all that went into being a wife and mom like Danae, and they thought she just wanted to stay at home and, you know, sit on the couch and watch soap operas all day. She just wanted to be lazy. But the way they were trying to talk her out of it became very offensive to me at many points. They began to say, "You know, you're so smart. You need to go to college. You're so talented. You have all of these skills. You need to accomplish something before you settle down to become a wife and a mom like Danae." And as we began to talk, I began to feel, you know, a little angry. And I began to say to them, "So you're saying my wife's not smart. So you're saying my wife's not talented. So you're saying my wife and being a wife and a mom has just wasted the last 10 years of her life." "Oh, no, 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 that's not what I'm saying." "No, that's what you've said without meaning it maybe, but you are saying those things." And yet we come in here today and we think about motherhood. And we think about what it means to be a wife. And many of you who are even wives and mothers sort of feel the same way. You would say, "Yeah, I'm just a wife and I'm just a mom. What does that mean?" And the culture we live in puts so much pressure on us to accomplish things, to before the world, to have degrees on the wall, to have sort of a status before others, that when you say, "I'm just a wife and a mom," it almost is meaningless to many people. And yet we know biblically that's not true. When we read the Bible, we see that God calls women to put everything that they've been gifted with, everything that they've been resourced with, to display the gospel in the home. Whatever they do outside of the home, we see that their primary role is to display love, sacrifice, nurture in the home so that the gospel is clearly seen in the way that they manage their household. And it's not a waste. It is glorious. And it is amazing. And we in our culture, specifically in the church, have got to give our women, our daughters, the freedom to exercise such wisdom. The other night we were at IHOP and they have this promotional thing going on where they're trying to honor moms, and there's a list of things, why you love your mom. And we were reading our kids what they wrote down, and I think it was Isaac who wrote down, I love mom because she feeds me. I love mom because she takes care of me. I love mom because she washes my clothes. And there was a moment where Danae goes, oh, yeah, that's all I do. And everybody's laughing, and we even read that and say, yeah, well, that's all mom does. And yet, biblically, that's the embodiment of the gospel. That's where we first taste and experience the wisdom of the gospel, as there is one in our life who gives their reputation over, who gives all of their energy over to making sure we understand and experience love, grace, and mercy. And yes, at times it's embodied in washing clothes. At times it's embodied in food on the table. And yet the Bible says it's glorious. It's gospel in action. Here in Proverbs 31, this is a summation of the whole book of Proverbs. The writer is summing up this collection of writings, and he says wisdom is personified here in a woman. Now, when we read Proverbs and we see these statements that are sort of just thrown out there all over the place, and we've got to understand that Proverbs isn't a to-do list. It's a way of life. And so you move through the book of Proverbs, and you're in the home, and you're in the garden, and you're in the marketplace, and you're at the bank, and you're all over the place, but that's the way we live our lives. We live our lives all over the place, and so Proverbs throws out these words of wisdom when you're in the home, when you're in the marketplace, when you're studying, when you're cleaning your room. This is the way you're to think about wisdom. It's a way of life. Proverbs 31, the first 9 verses begin with the instruction to a king, and notice who they are from. His mother. The book of Proverbs ends with a mother counseling her son who is a king. Now, in this time, that would have been scandalous. Why are you listening to your mom? You should be listening to your dad. And here there is the wisdom of a mother. And in the first 9 verses, she basically says, you use your power for the good of others. You are a king. You had inherited the throne. You are to rule for the sake of others. And she tells him to stay away from loose women. Stay away from foolish women. And stay away from wine. 2 things that are signs of self-consumption. Stay away from the clubs and the frat house. And we see here in the first 9 verses, if a mom would sit down and talk to her son, she would say, Johnny Manziel is the last person you need to be like. No, you need to have self-control. And you need to use your life for the sake of others. And one of the ways in which the world will see your wisdom is not in that you are out there pursuing power, not that you are hungry to serve yourself. Well, one of the ways in which the world will see your wisdom is in the wife that you choose for yourself. Folks will understand what kind of king you are by the wife you pursue. Notice verse 10, and this begins a poem where he is summing all things up in the book of Proverbs. And he says, an excellent wife who can find. Notice, she is more precious than jewels. She is a treasure. But this word excellent actually means noble, and it's often in Scripture used of soldiers. And what she's telling the king is, your wife is a warrior. She will be a warrior in the home for you. And you are to think about the wife you choose, not in glitz, not in glamour, but a warrior who is precious. She is a precious warrior. And notice he says, who can find one? That she is a precious jewel. Why? The heart of her husband trusts her. He is content in her. She does him good and not harm. And notice verse 11, he says, and he will have no lack of gain. Literally, that means his home, his kingdom will not be plundered. See, if you pursue a wife that is foolish, that is selfish, she's going to be all about her, and your kingdom is going to crumble. It will be plundered. But if you pursue an excellent wife, a warrior, who, notice the text says, does him good, not harm, all the days of her life, your kingdom will flourish. You're not having to worry about taming a shrew. You're not having to worry about her sucking life from your kingdom, from your mission. She's saying to the king, you're not paralyzed by her. No, she comes into the situation and says, I'm here to help you accomplish your mission. This mother says to a king here. But the wisdom is displayed in her husband's contentment in her. He is happy in her. Notice the text continues, verse 13. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing, literally, the text says, delightful, happy hands. She's like a merchant. She's going out. She's gathering food from afar. And notice the text says, she rises while it is yet night. She is up early in the morning. And what is she doing? She's providing breakfast for her household, but not just her household, her maidservants. She's providing for everyone in her home while it is still dawn. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hand, she plants a vineyard. She invests in this way. But notice verse 17, she dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. He's talking about work around the home. She's up before anyone else, providing food for everyone else. And then notice verse 18, she perceives her merchandise is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. She's up before everyone else. She's going to bed after everyone else. Sound familiar? Sound familiar? Some of you were up after everyone was in bed last night ironing church clothes. After all, tomorrow's Mother's Day. There's a little irony in that. But notice what she's doing. What kind of what she is working. And her work is a delight to her. She's spending her day at Kroger. She's spending her day at the bank. She's spending her day at Goodwill. She's going to ball practices. Notice where wisdom is displayed, in the home, in the marketplace, in places we would say, well, that's her name isn't in lights. Nobody even knows what she's just a normal person walking through the streets of the city. No one even knows her name. And yet the writer of Proverbs says there is glorious wisdom in everything she is doing. In the mundane of every day, there is a glory in being a mom that no one else knows, as she serves with delight her household. You know, a lot of women sit around and daydream about being someone else, about being in some love story on the Titanic or some risque novel you see on the Walmart bookshelf that you're checking out. And yet you are living a glorious life before God.
You are reflecting the gospel as you delightfully serve folks that the family that God has placed under your care. One of the ways you can offend me, and I've already talked about being offended this morning, is to tell me my wife doesn't work. A lot of young women do that. So just to counsel you before we have premarital counseling or whatever. And we'll sit around and they'll say, you know, school's hard and I got all of this on my schedule and it's hard. And I'll say, yeah, your life is easy right now. Says, let me tell you what Danae does, what time she gets up in the morning. She's feeding 6 kids. And they say, yeah, but she doesn't work. She doesn't work. Now, and what they mean by that is she doesn't go to an office. And what they mean by that is she's not turning in papers. And what they mean by, even when there's something to be done around the church, you'll have women call me and say, hey, I know Danae doesn't work. Can she take care of this? She doesn't work. Don't use that anymore. But here, what he says around the house, there is a work. But notice the text said, willing with her hands, meaning this is her, this is what she delights in. She loves it. She sees it as her joy. Notice to serve others. And the text continues to explain that as he talks about clothing. Notice she puts her hand to the distaff and holds out the spindle. Notice she is making clothing. Notice for who? The poor. It's not just those in her home. She has a heart of compassion, even for the poor and the needy outside of her home. And the text says she's not afraid of snow. She's not afraid of winter. Why? Her household is clothed in scarlet. Literally, it means they are double clothed. They are prepared for winter. Why? Because she spends her days serving others. She is making clothing not only for them, but also for the poor. And notice the text says she makes bed coverings for herself and her clothing is fine linen and purple. The text says her appearance in the marketplace, her appearance in the gates of the city, is she carries herself well. The text says in linen and purple, the clothing of royalty. And he's using that to describe the way in which she carries herself, the way in which she provides for others and takes care of her home. And notice her reputation. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. But notice verse 25, strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. Why? She is prepared. And she spends her time serving others. See, we think, how do I prepare? How do I take care of myself? Well, I serve myself. I take care of my own. I hoard to myself. But the mom, the mother, the wife here, she's prepared because she's spending so much time taking care of others. And the text says she is known in the city in fine linen and purple. But then he sums it up here when he talks about strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She is clothed in sacrifice and honor because she spends her time clothing and serving others. Notice even the reputation of her husband. Everybody knows who he is. Sits down at the city council meeting. Everybody knows his name. Why? Because he has a wife that's prepared him for that. He has a wife that is taking care of things where he can serve others well. And you experience that on a daily basis here. Anything that I accomplish here is because there is a woman who is serving this church well by serving me well. I want you to know I have a wife that has never once, and this isn't an exaggeration. This isn't preacher talk, okay? She has never once complained about me not being at home. Never once. She has never once said, why are you at that meeting? Why aren't you here? Don't you know we have 6 kids? Never once. She's never once complained about my job. She sees it as her ministry. Hey, if I can take care of things so you're freed up to go counsel people, so you're freed up to go to minister to people, you get to eat at all these restaurants, you get to go to Peru, you get to do all of it, that's fine. You go do it. never once complained about it. Sometimes I'm like, I feel guilty. I'm like, what's, are you okay? Is everything okay? You're not mad? Never once complained. And so anything that goes on here that is good, that you would say, oh, Pastor Jeremy did this or that. No, it's because she's serving. And that's what the Proverbs 31 woman does. I want to see my kids successful. I want to see my home successful. I want to see my husband successful. And so I will serve beyond the scenes. My reputation, my greatness is seen in the greatness of others. Notice verse 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom and teaching with kindness is on her tongue. Throughout Proverbs, we see this issue of the tongue. She controls her tongue. She's not building her kingdom by whining, by complaining, by gossip, by slander. No, her tongue is controlled by the fear of the Lord, by wisdom. Notice the text continues. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. There is work. There is a busyness that is displayed in their home. We said a long time ago in our home, if a monkey can do it, then you're going to do it. We began teaching our kids even around 2 or 3 years old. You need to learn how to load and unload the dishwasher. And you need to know how to wash and dry clothes. And guess who manages that? Me? No, because I don't wash dishes. And I don't know how to wash clothes. My mom wasn't that way. She did it all for me. But there's a busyness when you walk in. There's always something going on, and she is managing her household in this way. And notice her reputation. Notice her glory. Her children rise up, and they call her blessed, and her husband also praises her. That's the accolade. And if you're a mom here today, you would say that's true. When it's all said and done, I just want my kids to honor me. I just want my kids to praise me and to see what I've done, to see the way in which I've sacrificed for them. Yeah, I can have the degrees on the wall and I can accomplish all kinds of things, but my priority is what my household says about me. And yet she understands that. There are a lot of women who are successful in the world, and yet their families despise them. And Proverbs 31 says that there's a calling to serve your home well, to see your greatness, to see the accolades there in the praises of your kids, the praises of your husband. And then we get to verse 29. He says, many women have done excellently. There's that word again. But you surpass them all. The children, the husband, rise up and say, you are a precious warrior who has fought well. You have served well. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Notice where the accomplishment is. It's not in charm. It's not in outward appearance. It's not in worldly wisdom, but it is in what her household says about her. You are our precious warrior. Notice, a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised, is to be honored, is to be seen as worthy. And the text says, give her the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. That is her greatness. Is that she fears the Lord and she is under submission to the Lord and she cares more about what the Lord would say about her than the world would say about her. And she lives to honor the Lord and her family rises up and sees it and they reward her in that way. See, some of you come in here today and you say, what have I accomplished? What have I done with my life? I'm still working the same job I worked when I graduated high school. What have I done with my life? And you come in and it seems as though your life is meaningless. And yet being a wife and a mom, the Word of God tells us is glorious. You are the embodiment of biblical wisdom. Notice as we've gone through the passage, the greatness is seen in serving others. The success, the wisdom is sacrificing for others. And you say, well, isn't that sort of just second-rate citizenship? And Jesus would say, no, it's the embodiment of the gospel. Because you have the second person of the Trinity who is King of the universe. All things were created for him and through him and by him. And what does he do? He takes on flesh and he hands over his rights. And he stands before rulers and emperors that he could have just shut down and stomped under his feet. And what does he do? He sacrifices. And what Proverbs 31 is teaching us is that's what moms do on a day-to-day basis. They remind us of Jesus like nobody else. Because they wake up in the morning and their goal is to serve others. And we think in our culture, where is wisdom seen? Where is glory for women seen? Is it those who sort of are out there and their names are in lights and their own stages and they're the supermodels and they have the degrees and they're always asserting themselves and they're always talking about what rights they have? Anything you can do, I can do better. And yet the Bible flips that sort of wisdom on its head for all of us. And Jesus says, women, wives, and mothers do it better than anyone else. And maybe there is a glory seen in a full diaper bin that can't be seen in a degree on the wall. Maybe there is a glory in piles of laundry to be pursued that cannot be pursued in worldly accolades. And maybe we've got it all twisted. God says there is a glory, there is a weight, there is a crown to be worn by anyone who would follow Christ and sacrifice in this way. Now, some of you, we read through this and you say, well, I got to change some things. I got to do better at this. I got to figure out how to be better at grocery shopping. I got to get with Jennifer Martin and learn how to do that coupon and stuff. I got to figure out how to manage my home well and organize. Why aren't you giving us tips for living in that way? Because that's not the point. Some of you come in here and you look back and you say, wow, I've wasted a lot of time where I could have been a better wife and a better mom. And the point of the passage is wisdom is not found in you. We didn't come in here today to look to you for wisdom, to even the best mom in here to say, yeah, that's how you do it. No, we came in here to say, none of us can do it right. None of us. This passage is about Jesus, who is the embodiment of wisdom, who is the embodiment of self-sacrifice. And you come in here today and you think, you begin to compare yourself to others. You compare yourself to others who you see on Facebook, who seem to have it well, going well, who seem to have it under control. And by the way, Facebook is one of the most devastating things to mothers. Just to be honest, just throw that out there to you. Nobody's taking pictures of themselves and their kids at 6:30 in the morning getting ready for school, with cereal flying against the wall or whatever else. They're not doing it. But you look through that and you compare yourself to everybody else. Look how their kids are smiling in the pictures. I can't even get my kids to fix their hair in the pictures. And you're going through the list. And everybody's going to have Mother's Day pictures outside the church today. And my kids, look, Isaac wore a sweater today. And we told him not to wear the sweater. And you just go through everything. And you compare yourself to everybody else. And you feel that's not the point. The point is, you're not the best mom. You're not. Go ahead and live in that freedom. I'm not the best mom ever. Take the coffee cup and smash it when you get home. So quit lying to me. You're not. And your family doesn't need you to be the best. They need Jesus. And you know who points us to Jesus better than anybody else? Moms who try to be the best by serving others. Let me let you in on a little secret. As bad a mom and as bad a wife, your family still thinks you're the best. They still think that you got it together. And yet you live with that sort of anxiety. And what I want to say to you today is stop trying to be the best and trust Jesus, who has accomplished all of this for you. You go through the list and you say, my husband's not content. You go through the list, you say, my days, I could do more. I could be less discontent in what I do as a mom. You go through the list here and you see how she provides and you see how she takes care of her family and you see how she takes care of her husband and you see how she talks and you see how she has self-control and you see how she works and you get to the end and you say, I'm not noble. No, but Jesus was. And in every point you fail, he succeeded for you. Trust him. Hope in him. Whatever success you have, realize Jesus is better. Jesus is greater. Because if we're all honest, we come to the end. And if I just ask you, who's made the biggest impact in your life? Who is it? It's probably your mom. This week, you saw Kevin Durant's MVP acceptance. Who did he talk about? His mom. I spend hours and hours and hours throwing baseballs to my son, teaching them how to pitch, teaching them how to catch, throwing BP day after day after day. And then the game comes, and what do they ask me? Is mom coming? Who cares? But what that tells you something about your role. You have more influence than you ever allow yourself to believe. And what that little boy needs who's saying, where's mom, is to know where Jesus is. And you are there to point him to Jesus. I think about my grandmother who read the scriptures to me over and over again from the point I was an infant till I was a teenager. I would come to her house with my friends and it would be embarrassing. All right, it's time to read the Bible together. Oh, come on, we don't have to do this, Granny. Come on. I think about my mom when I was a teenager. Very, very difficult time in our life. There was divorce, there was a lot of hard things going on. She was working three jobs and going to nursing school. She taught me what it meant to sacrifice for others. I think about my grandmother who set me down and pled with me to believe in Jesus for salvation, to trust in him alone. And many of you here this morning have the same story. And yet what this text tells us to do is turn to that mom and praise her. Declare her greatness to her. Remind her of the honor that she has to be a mom and the blessing she has to be living before God the gospel on a second by second, minute by minute, day by day basis for you. Let's pray. Oh God, we thank you for this passage and we thank you for the way that you teach us through those who care for us, those who nurture us, those who show us what love and compassion and care looks like, those who even here today sacrifice so much for our good. And while the world may look over them, while the world may not recognize or honor them, God, I pray today that every one of us in here would flip the world's wisdom on its head and we would see value, we would see worth in what it means to be a wife and a mom who fears the Lord. It's in the name of Christ we pray. Amen.